Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. One of my favorite people was born in Spain. He's a pro-life Coloradan now. And I remember where he was born because it's the same place where that song comes from. Probably the only opera I ever saw, the Barbara of Seville. And his name is Guabe Garcia Jones. Boy, do we have a lot to get updated on. Guabe, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks, Bob. It's good to be with you.
There's so much. Let's first list off what we want to talk about on today's show.
Okay. Well, we have a lot going on. Here in Colorado, we have two things coming up in a couple months. There's a protest that's going to be happening in Durango surrounding a real scandal that's happening there. There's only one major hospital in Durango, and the local abortionist happens to work there, and it's a Catholic hospital.
He has privileges at the hospital. It's a Catholic hospital. Lila Rose is coming into town to lead a protest there. So, okay, that's first thing we'll talk about. And what else? We're coming up to round three, right, in Colorado?
Yep. We're going to be launching the amendment again.
Personhood Amendment, round three.
Right. And we want to launch right at the rally for the March for Life this year.
Wow, this is going to be exciting, and so we'll talk about that. And then, Guabe, I know that you travel out of state. You're from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
You're the person who gets the most excited during the soccer playoffs and all. Which countries have you been following that we could talk about what's happening in personhood around the world?
Right. Well, there's I think there's the hand of God is just so visible and with the personhood movement. We have two countries in Eastern Europe that are promoting personhood. Hungary just passed a revision to their constitution that outlaws all abortion and that promotes personhood. Mm. And that was just last month.
Wow.
And then Poland right now is in the process of eliminating all exceptions to their prohibition on abortion.
Wow, this is really thrilling because, Guabe, it does seem that the hand of God is at work, because what's happening here in America, we see that it's happening elsewhere. Our friends across the border to the south in Mexico, they're working on personhood state by state in Mexico.
Right, and they've actually gotten over half of the states. So imagine if we had 30 states had passed personhood. That's where they're at in Mexico right now. And in Poland, as we were just talking about, they collected 600,000 signatures in 2 weeks to cause this. It's sort of a referendum to their constitution so that the Congress has to consider whether to keep exceptions in their abortion laws.
Mm-hmm. So Hungary, Poland, Mexico, any other countries you want to touch on?
The Philippines. The Philippines is the largest pro-life country in the world, and right now they're under attack. Actually, the U.S. government, under the Obama administration, has a conditional grant for the Philippines, which is a poor country, and they have a lot of needs. So the U.S. is using about $500 million in grant money
as a bribe
to coerce
them to start killing innocent children.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so they're fighting that tooth and nail. They're very active. Their churches are alive in the Philippines. And so we're working with them actually to try to help them with our experience in signature gathering and mobilizing people.
Mm-hmm. Governments have done that here in the U.S. Back in the 60s, I think it was, the federal government bribed the states to decriminalize public drunkenness. It was a campaign. It went from Britain through the U.S. to Australia, and they succeeded, so that whereas it used to be a crime to be drunk and, say, walking downtown Denver from, one bar to another and you're drunk and disorderly, it was a crime to be drunk. Now they decriminalized it, and they'll put you in a detox center, but it's not a crime. And so we just have an epidemic of drunks, college students right on up.
Right. And, you know, Bob, we have coercion happening right now. Just last month or 2 months ago in Louisiana, when we were fighting to get the personhood bill there, the argument that sank the whole effort was the idea that if Louisiana passed a personhood law, it would violate the Hyde Amendment, which is supposed to be a pro-life amendment, and that they wouldn't receive Medicaid money.
Yeah.
And so that's happening here in the U.S. right now.
And back when things like the Hyde Amendment were introduced and pro-lifers who were principled would say, look, what you're really going to do, because of the exceptions in the bill, that shows it's not a true pro-life bill, and it's going to backfire. And so we don't fund abortion in this country, except that we give Planned Parenthood hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
So that's a complete disconnect. But to add insult to injury, like you just said, they use the threat of federal funds to sabotage Louisiana's personhood bill, which was a neat personhood bill. And I recall, Guabe, I don't know, you don't have to say this, I'll say it, right? I remember the triumvirate, the big three, came out against the bill and sabotaged it. And if I recall, it was National Right to Life's state affiliate, and it was the local Catholic bishops in Louisiana, and it was the Focus on the Family state affiliate. Those three came out and convinced the pro-life legislators to torpedo the bill.
Right.
Yeah.
It was very forceful the way they did it. There were some people within that triumvirate that I think did have an openness to talk about why we would want to eliminate some of these exceptions. Other people were just aggressive and nasty and said, you know, we have to kill this bill. We have to get these people out of here.
Right.
Talking about fellow pro-lifers.
Right. Right. And so personhood is becoming a wave that, with God's blessing, this wave will go over the entire globe. And eventually, just like slavery ended, when no one could really conceive of slavery ending, no one. It was in the fabric of the human race, of humanity, and the most civilized nations had slavery, and William Wilberforce in Britain fought almost a one-man campaign to make slavery unthinkable on the basis of the God-given right to life and dignity and liberty, and he succeeded. And it is virtually unthinkable today. And someday the same victory will come to those who are fighting with God's blessing to stop the slaughter of children in their mother's womb.
Right. And I think we can be completely confident in that. It's like the parable of the mustard seed. And personhood is that mustard seed. And I think it's the truth. And it's God's will. And we'll see it flourish.
Yeah, I think so. I'm very encouraged, regardless of how dark everything is around us. Guabe, I'm encouraged. And I know conservatives will spend 10, 20 years working on, say, term limits, or all excited about the debt ceiling, which doesn't even seem to be a ceiling because it's raised every time we come near it. But personhood is the dagger in the heart of leftism, of everything that's godless about our culture and our government. Personhood is the dagger in the heart of godlessness, because when we tell them, you will no longer kill innocent children, we are honoring God in such a substantive way.
Right, and we're recognizing that the ultimate grant of our rights is not the state.
Not from the Constitution. Guabe Garcia Jones, you're the director of Personhood Colorado. Every time I hear a pro-lifer talk about our constitutional rights, I cringe, because these are Christians telling people your rights come from the government, and they're numbered. It's the second right, it's the third right, it's the first right.
Right.
It's our Second Amendment right, our First Amendment right, our fifth. And no, your rights come from God. The government may uphold them or run roughshod over them, but they come from God.
And I think our Declaration of Independence definitely
states that. Yeah, exactly. So, and I'm glad the Constitution reaffirms them, but they're not constitutional rights, because then the Constitution, as it's modified, one day it could say you can kill unborn children, and then that's your constitutional right to kill unborn children.
Right.
Wow. Okay, so that's exciting to hear what's going on around the country. Anything in the Caribbean? Could you recall what's the status of any of the battles there? Pro Familia has been working in the Caribbean to get countries that have no abortion to decriminalize child killing.
Right.
That's Planned Parenthood International.
Right. Well, they're always fighting over the Dominican Republic. That seems to be sort of a crucible in the the Caribbean area. And I know that, you know, while we were involved, and I know Personhood USA had a team down there to try to solidify it in their constitution, Latin American constitutions come and go. Mm. And so whereas a constitutional amendment in the U.S. really gives a lot of weight to something, obviously not complete weight, as we
right,
know.
Right.
In Latin America, a constitution almost comes and goes with each government. So in the Caribbean, they're fighting it. We had an interesting development. We're thinking about introducing a personhood amendment in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And Puerto Rico is a semi-independent part of the U.S. It
right,
has an interesting
right.
relationship, and we're hoping to be able to use the pro-life sentiment in Puerto Rico and to really push that boundary of, you know, how far are we going to force our right to abortion on other people.
Didn't Barack Obama go there when he went to all 56 American states?
I think so.
He went to all 56 U.S. states, and I went 57. Well, 57th was Puerto Rico.
I think. And Guam.
All right. So now we'll come back to Colorado, and thank you for that quick tour around the globe.
Sure.
It is exciting to see what God is doing. And so back in Colorado, we've got Durango, that protest, and Personhood Round 3.
Right.
So first of all, why do a Round 3? Didn't we get beat in 2010, in 2008?
Right. Well, I think we did. We got handily beat, but each time we improved. We've gathered a lot of support. We've been able to encourage other states to do personhood. Mm. And so really there have been a lot of positive things coming out of Colorado, even though on November 10th we didn't win.
And in fact, one of the fruits of Colorado's personhood movement is Mississippi.
Right. Right. And Mississippi's on the ballot this year, 2011. They have an off-year governor's election, and that's when they do initiatives. And polling is great there. It looks, you know, we have 76% approval right now for
wow.
the initiative.
76%. Now, we can't count our chickens before they hatch.
No.
And we should, each one of us, pray, ask God for wisdom and blessing for the campaign in Mississippi. I know that American Family Association is very involved.
Yeah.
And for those who can, to support them financially.
Right.
And help take out ads in local newspapers, on the radio, distribute literature, even go down there and help out, help the campaign. And this is coming up. The vote is in November. And so the campaign really heats up at the end of August, September, October.
Right. And their website is personhoodms.com. And you can go there and just see what they're doing. It's very exciting. They do have a challenge before the Supreme Court right now, so if you could keep that in your prayers.
Yeah. They've won their last court challenge,
right?
As I recall. And so now this one, would you say it's more serious than the last?
It's the same argument. It's at a higher level. And from the oral argument and people who were there, it seems like the judges were not receptive to the arguments of Planned Parenthood and the ACLU. And mm-hmm. so we're looking for a good decision.
And those are the plaintiffs that lost in the last round.
Right.
So Personhood USA, Personhood Mississippi, you guys here in Colorado also, we've been up against these Goliaths.
Right.
Planned Parenthood, a billion-dollar child-killing organization, the ACLU, and many organizations that are fundamentally godless in their worldview.
And they are trained on us with a laser beam because everywhere we pop up, we've been sued in Nevada, Alaska, Colorado, Mississippi.
And sued by the ACLU and Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Trying to stop Personhood USA. This little group, you guys have collected now almost a million signatures.
Right.
And there are personhood efforts in virtually every state in the country.
Right. And we're growing leaps and bounds. And I think the only thing that's kept us from growing is just that we didn't have enough resources mm-hmm. to reach out to everybody. So
yeah, and the resources are beginning to come in. So now Personhood Round 3 in Colorado, the Denver Post and the TV News said that we lost 3-1 in 2008.
Right.
And to go by their math, well, we improved somewhat in 2010. And when you round it down to single digits, we lost by 2-1. So we closed the gap. But wasn't 2010 a much more hostile environment?
It was. It was in Colorado. There was a strong battle here. And the unions, I was out at the polls the day of the election, and it was incredible just to see they had union people everywhere. And as we saw, most of the federal races went to Democrats, which was the opposite of the rest of the country.
Yeah. In fact, in Colorado, and this is documented, I know Personhood Colorado has documented this. It's also at Colorado Right to Life. If you just go to their homepage and then on the right, click on the Amendment 62 archive, and there's a great archive of the whole campaign, step by step, what happened. And the top article is the election results analysis. And Guabe, it has been reported that, and this is, comes from the Weekly Standard, and I think I know this because you found this,
right,
and you reported this, so I'm not telling you, I'm telling the audience, that the Weekly Standard ran the numbers, and in Colorado, the Democrats came out in force. It was a six-point swing from 2008,
right,
where the Republicans did a little better. The Democrats were up 5 points in 2010 compared to Republicans, and so this was a much more hostile electorate because typically Democrats are more supportive of killing children in the womb.
Right.
Typically.
Right.
And yet, even with that, how would you describe the improvement from 2008? We did improve.
Right. Well, we improved, you know, 3% on the just on the plain percentage of the result. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the statistics,
to 30%. So we got 30% of Colorado voters saying they're willing to ban all child killing without exception.
Right. And we did a calculation based on turnout, and it came out to over 50,000 people being turned around in terms of from 2008 to 2010. And so for, you know, you asked me before what, you know, why do this again round three? Well, if we get another 50,000 people turned around this time, maybe we won't win. But that is a great, great improvement.
A great. We're educating people. And when you educate 50,000 people that abortion is the killing of an innocent child, then there are people in that group that will not abort their own child or
right.
will not pay to have another child aborted, or grandparents who will not take their granddaughter to Planned Parenthood. So, of course, you're saving lives. But also, Guabe, we slaughtered – is that the right word? Guabe, we quashed the conventional wisdom in America and by the pro-life movement that only 15% of voters would support 100% abortion ban.
Right.
We doubled that. We proved, forget Gallup, forget it. Forget those polls. We proved by the only poll that actually matters that 30%. So we've doubled the conventional wisdom of how many people are willing to stop all child killing in the land.
And I think it's higher than that because Colorado is more of a blue state now. Mm. And so I think that if you look at the other states, Midwest, South, you're going to see a lot higher than 30%.
Yeah. Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And right, that's in Colorado in a hardcore Democratic turnout year.
Right.
30%. We don't need 100%. We need 50%. So we're the lion's share of the way there toward victory. We're there even in a state like Colorado. All right, so round three is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And anything people could do to start getting ready? I've got one big idea for Colorado Right to Life. They could donate money because Colorado Right to Life needs to rebuild and equip themselves to get ready to provide a lot of the manpower for the petition drive and the campaign.
Right.
So please donate to Colorado Right to Life. It's absolutely crucial. And you can go to their website, coloradortl.org, and just click on PayPal, Discover, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and donate. So that's one thing people could do. What else could they do?
Well, we're you know, we're beginning to organize. We're sending out emails with our lists, and probably a lot of your listeners are on our list, and so things like this protest in Durango, we're going to take the opportunity to start talking to some of our people that are going to be there mm-hmm. and getting them ready. I think in the fall, we're going to start traveling the state and beginning to basically hold sort of personhood town hall meetings with people to get them energized. I think there may be some discouragement amongst people, and I think people need to see the long-term vision of what we're doing here. This is a movement. It's not we're not electing a candidate. And so every time we can grow.
And you know what? Amendments don't lie to you. An amendment could be written poorly, and then you should be smart enough to not support it. But an amendment doesn't change its mind in the middle of the campaign.
Right.
So there is something that's especially enduring about supporting fundamental principles.
Right. And I one of the things I love about the dynamic between the first year and the second amendment, 48 and 62, was the fact that we force legislators who like to, you know, wear the pro-life armband to actually say, you know, to actually have to debate the issue and stand behind a principle that doesn't allow for exceptions, that doesn't allow for an easy stance to be taken. And so by putting that on there, I think we can really discern what these politicians are going to do once they're elected. You know, the primary, I like to call it the primary two-step pro-life dance.
Well, remember what Ken Buck did when he said, you know what, I'm not going to support this personhood amendment? Well, he was running for U.S. Senator. The U.S. Senator from Mississippi, Republican Roger Wicker, he has introduced the Life at Conception Act, which is, it appears to me, to be morally principled. It is solid.
Right.
A child in the womb, you are a person with all the rights of that adhere to a human being from the beginning of your biological development. At every point in your development, from fertilization and every other point at which a human life begins, that's when you are a human being. And Guabe, I think there are about a dozen U.S. senators who co-sponsored Senator Roger Wicker's Human Life Act.
Yeah.
Life at Conception Act. And so.
And it's not a coincidence that there is a personhood amendment in Mississippi.
No, there's not. And so what a shame that Ken Buck pulled back from all his pro-life promises during the campaign. He actually reneged on each one. He said, I will confirm pro-abortion judges. I'm not going to support the personhood amendment. Like I said, I wouldn't. Right on down. He possibly could have. He lost by 1.5%.
Right.
And many were supporting him because he seemed like he was going to stand on principle and not lie to us like politicians do. So who knows what could have been different if he would have stood for the right to life of the unborn.
Right.
Guabe, so that's coming up, personhood round three, and you said Durango's a good place to start to get excited for this next phase.
Yeah, we had a big meeting of all the personhood leaders there last time. We had over 100 people at this protest, and so we're hoping that turnout will happen again. Durango's beautiful this time of year. People can go down there and actually do something good. To give you a little background on what the issue is there, there is one Planned Parenthood in a 200-mile radius in the Four Corners. It services people from kills people from all over four states.
Wow. And
the doctor who works at Planned Parenthood practices medicine at the Catholic hospital, which is the only major hospital in the area as well, 4 days a week. So he's treating women, and he's an OBGYN, so he's taking care of women who are pregnant a lot of the times, 4 days a week, and then the other day he's killing babies for Planned Parenthood.
And when your doctor kills babies for money, then how comfortable can you be? How confident can you be that you will have only his best intention for you and your child in his heart when he's treating you, when he's caring for you?
Right, not confident at all.
No.
He says he's a Quaker, but in an article that he published, he gave an interview the day of the protest. The press went to him to see what he thought about the protest.
I recall that interview, yeah.
And he
said, it was bizarre, beyond measure bizarre, over the top.
Right. But he said that the reason why he performs abortions is because he's a Christian. And so as a Catholic and as a Christian, the fact that this man is allowed in a Catholic hospital, a Christian hospital, is just beyond the pale.
Yeah. Yeah, he should be quaking in his boots.
Right.
Before
right.
God. And, you know, it's the New Testament that says that the living God comes with vengeance. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's in the New Testament.
Yeah.
So people forget Jesus came like a baby, but he's not coming back like a baby. And Judgment Day is up ahead, and people act as though there's no God.
Yeah.
So, Gwabe, do you recall what else? I hate to put you on the spot, but he said something in that interview that was so far over the top that even the pro-aborts backed off of it. Do you recall what that was? If you don't, I'm going to try to look that up, and I'll link to it in our show summary.
Yeah, I don't recall. I mean, everything the man says, he has a weekly column called Population Matters. So he's a eugenicist. He's not even, you know, hiding it at all.
What is his name again?
It's very appropriate. His name is Dr. Grossman.
Dr. Grossman. All right, Dr. Grossman. So do you think there will be a caravan going from the Denver area to Durango?
There will be. There will be. There was one last year, and I think we probably had about 50 people from Denver come all the way to Durango. And we are organizing some host homes, so people who want to go, if they could call our office for personhood at 303-456-2800. Also, we have a petition. We're circulating a petition to present to the board of the Catholic Hospital to show our outrage at this. And I would encourage everybody, Catholic and non-Catholic alike, to sign it. It's called mercyprotest.com. And it talks a little bit more
mercyprotest.com.
Right. It talks a little bit more about the event, about Dr. Grossman. One short anecdote, Lila Rose did a little investigative piece on the Catholic Hospital and his practice within the Catholic Hospital. And they found that, sure enough, the receptionist from the Catholic Hospital was willing to give the phone number for Planned Parenthood when somebody called to ask for an abortion.
Yeah, this is a great tragedy. By the way, I found it. I Googled Dr. Grossman, and here it is on this website. Have you heard of this? It's personhoodusa.com. And he said that the beginning of biological development, if we say that that's when a person gets his rights, he said that the beginning is the human egg, the ovum in the ovary is the beginning of development. And that is such a gross scientific misstatement.
Right. He skipped a couple of classes, I think.
Yeah, he did, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have science on our side, but science doesn't tell us what is right or wrong. But the human being is when you get the 23 chromosomes of the mother, 23 of the father, they come together, and then you have a living human being. And the sperm is not a human being. It's a cell. And the egg is not, the ovum is not a human being. It's a cell. These are gametes. But when they come together and there is fertilization, then you have an explosion of life. And you got there a little boy or a little girl, blue eyes, red hair, whatever you got, you've got this precious little child and an explosion of life.
Right. And we've known that. Science has known that for a long time. They just turned a blind eye to it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gwabe Garcia-Jones. What an honor to have you in studio, Gwabe.
Likewise. Thank you.
All right. So come on out, if you can, to the Durango protest. Go to personhoodcolorado.com for more information and coloradorighttolife.org. Please support them. And guess what? Let's announce Alan Keyes is coming out September 17th.